Well, good morning, church fam. How are we? Excellent. There you are. Let's try that again. How are we this morning? We doing all right? Got a okay. There we go. Good morning. Good morning. Proud to have you. Good to be together. If you have your hey, don't leave yet, Jordan.
Dang it!
There you go. There it is. That's important. Hey, you can stay up here if you want. We could do this together sometime. Just don't let me do your part. That would be bad for everybody. Well, hey, if we haven't met before, I'm Chris. I serve as the lead pastor here at The Well. If you have your Bibles, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. We're kicking off a little mini-series this Sunday called Peace on Earth. Continuing our journey through Ephesians, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 2, kind of the back half of chapter 2. And for the next three Sundays, we're going to be talking about this. Is that something we can actually have? Or is peace just some elusive idea, and that's just some cute Christmas phrase that we say around the holiday season, like, oh, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Like, that's just some Christmas movie quote, or is that a real thing? So let's kind of explore that a little bit. I don't know what your holiday season is like, but already I feel a fleeting absence of peace just in scheduling alone. Anyone else feel like, man, your schedule's already kind of filling up for the holidays? And maybe that feels not too stressful until one family member makes the ask and says, hey, will you be here on this day? And I go, oh, goodness, oh, no. Maybe those are in-laws or parents or brothers or sisters. Or maybe to make it more complicated because it's 2021 and everything's crazy, like maybe there's strong opinions about vaccines or COVID and how you handle that. And it's like, come home from a long day at work and you want to chill and veg, but your kids want something else or your spouse wants something else. And all of a sudden, what you thought was going to be a peaceful moment is no longer a peaceful moment. Or maybe you just feel like, man, I'm trying to keep my head down. But then there's just chaos all around me. Peace on earth. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Is that a reality for us? Can we actually have peace on earth? Or is that just some nice idea that we try to wish upon a very hectic commercialized season in our calendar? I'm convinced this morning is our peace, has made peace a reality for us, and then has preached it to us through his life. I'm also convinced of this. Here's kind of the big idea for this morning. That you and I will experience peace both in our lives and by God's grace in the lives around us, to the extent that we live in Christ. To say it another way, you and I will be peacemakers to the degree that you and I follow Jesus. You and I will be peacemakers. We will actually be a part of God's peace-bringing plan to the extent that you and I follow Jesus with our lives. I want to be a peacemaker. Every now and then, my wife and or children might say, I am not that. And so today, I'm listening closely to earth. In the ways that we long for it to happen, God has graciously invited you and I to be a part of his peacemaking plan on earth. Can peace exist on earth? I believe, yes, it can. How? Through Jesus living through us. Ephesians chapter 2, if you got it, say got it. Starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, if you're new to the Bible, Paul's talking about what grace looks like lived out in life. In effect, all of Ephesians could be summarized as what does life look like in Christ? What does life look like when you follow Jesus? Gentiles are really two people groups that you'll hear largely in the New Testament, Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles would be non-Jewish people. Okay, so he says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the, remember that you were at that time, five things, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, verse 13, five more things, but now, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And then listen for the word peace throughout this text. For he himself is our peace. Second thing, who has made us both one. Third thing, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Fourth thing, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So making preached peace to you who were far off. Peace on earth. Is it possible? I think it's possible to the extent that you and I follow Jesus. You and I will be peacemakers to the extent that we follow Jesus. What does that look like according to Paul here in Ephesians chapter 2? It begins by remembering. Before remembering, look at verse 11 real quick. Therefore, remember, okay, here's you're going to hear in verse 11 and verse 12. Remember, and then again in 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Much of the Christian faith is spent remembering. And that's a really good thing to do. If you're here this morning, just as a side note and kind of looking, hey, I want to grow in the Israelites as they journeyed with God. It's really a prayer book of God's people. If you're here this morning, you're like, man, I want to grow in prayer. I just encourage you, just start praying and reading a psalm a day. Just if maybe you're new to reading the Bible regularly, just pick up the book of Psalms. Some of it's crazy. I mean, some of it's like, you're going to be like, whoa, that's in the Bible? That's super crazy. A lot of it is. Because there's a lot that happened in their lives, but a lot of what the psalmist does is they remember. They remember the faithfulness of God over and over and over and over again. Paul begins a message on peace with the imperative, with the command to remember. Okay, so how many of y'all have someone in your life that's just been good to you? Like, you could name them right now. Someone's been good to you. But let me ask you, have you ever also wanted to fight that person? Just me or some of y'all? But listen, I have a wife who is good to me. She is good to me. I am a blessed and spoiled man. But for some reason, there is a deficiency in the wiring of my brain that has short-term memory sometimes of her goodness. And every now and then, on rare occasion, very rare occasion, you know, only on days that end in Y, I forget her goodness and I want to fight her. She would go, I don't know why either, And you know, sometimes, every now and then, we have really some big ones. And God says to me, Chris, have you forgotten who she is? Have you forgotten how much she loves you? Have you forgotten these things? Remember this, and remember this, and remember this, and remember who we are. Remember who we are. Sorry, remember who we were, and remember who we are. He says this, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Real quick, kind of awkward Jewish history. If you're new to following Jesus, this is all just really awkward, but we all believe the Bible. So here we go. Okay, so there's the Jewish people, and God said, hey, I'm going to give you a sign that marks you as my people, and that sign is going to be circumcision. Now, that's kind of odd. I'm going to talk to the Lord about it when I see him, and he'll probably say, like, here's why, but that's kind of peculiar, okay? So he says, here's going to be a sign for Jewish people. Now, all the other peoples of the world, that's not their sign. So I don't know if there's, like, sign checkers when you walk into the temple. That'd be even more peculiar, but it became kind of, hey, this is what makes us better. You ever met some church folk who think they're better than you just because they go to church? You ever met some of those folk? I would imagine some people met me. They're like, yeah, Chris, you one of them. I hate that, you know? But you ever met someone like that? You ever been someone like that? That you actually look down on someone because of something good that you do in your life? You're like, man, I must be hard being that person. They should have done this, this, and this like I did. That which was good, we turned into a bar of I'm better than you. And God's people did that with circumcision. They said, hey, look, we're like holier than you because of this thing. That's going to come up again. There's actually a big theme in this text, but here's Paul's little jab. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Because of this. Remember who you were, and then he's going to drill in deep here. Remember that at one time, to the Gentile people, you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That, my friends, is the description of being alone. I don't know the last time you felt alone or you felt lonely, but I'd imagine it felt something like having no hope. That you were separated from a group of people. That all these other people, they got to experience this, this, and this, but not you because you're all alone over here. Multiple times in the past month where I felt alone. The holidays seem to bring that up a little more, do they not? It's as though they highlight and exacerbate feelings of loneliness that each of us feel. Perhaps that's because, like, we all kind of imagine it's all just going to be like a Hallmark movie, even though none of us actually want that for our lives. But, like, we're all just going to be together and drinking hot cocoa, and it's going to feel warm fuzzies, and, like, everyone's in the room, and it's peaceful. Yeah, right. But not me. I'm over here. I'm having to work two jobs, and I work retail, so I can't be off on Christmas, and here I am once again all alone. Or maybe relationships got sideways on me, and now my family's all broken up, and it's this year for the kids to get Christmas, and now I'm all alone. And I'm separated. And I'm a stranger, and I'm alienated, and I have with Jesus. Paul is saying, hey, that is where you're at. And your proposed solution to loneliness outside of Jesus is what? Work harder? Be better? Be a nicer guy? Our condition outside of Jesus is separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you're here and you are a believer in Jesus, like you believe Jesus died for your sins, was buried in the ground and busted up out of the grave to make dead people alive, then it is healthy for us to remember who we were. Why? In part because the temptation, the moment that the church begins to think that we are some type of morally superior group, we have abandoned the calling to be peacemakers. And we would do well to remember who we were, that we too, at one time, were separated aliens with no hope and without God. This has all sorts of implications, many of which we won't go into this morning, but I would go ahead and press a moment that the Christian should have their eyes constantly scanning for the outsider, for the one who might feel lonely, for the one who by the color of their skin or the language they speak. I largely don't know what that's like to be an outsider. But as believers in Jesus, regardless of what we've been given, we as peacemakers should not only be remembering who we were, but we should be scanning constantly for outsiders and say, hey, I know what it's like to be an outsider. But oftentimes, for some reason, we get real cozy in our Christian circles and we want to just be safe in our insider world. We want to shelter everything out from the chaos of outsiders. And Paul says, hey, if you're going to join Jesus on the mission of bringing peace, remember who you were. At one time, you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. And at all to share the gospel with those who might be far from God, because we've forgotten. We have forgotten what that was like. I pray that there is a day in the life of this church where there are so many people who have recently come to know and follow Jesus that that cannot be said of us. That it cannot be said of the culture of the well that we have forgotten what it was like to not have Jesus, because there are so many people who are giving their lives to following Jesus for the first time. That that is actually part of our family DNA, is that we can't forget what it was like. Because we're constantly being reminded by the new family members that God's giving us. Remember who we were. But then remember who you are. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is before Christ. There's five things that we need to remember for knowing Christ, for having a relationship with Jesus, for being in Christ Jesus. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. If you're here and you're a believer in Jesus, hear this. You are already near to him. So all us hustlers out there, all us type A folks who are always trying to knock out our quiet times and do all the good things to think we got to be closer to Jesus by doing our good things. Here's what the Bible just said. You are already near. You're already near. And that happened by Jesus, not by us. So a lot of us think if here's us and here's Jesus, we've got to do A, B, and C to get to Jesus. If I'm going to be near to Jesus, I've got to have all the time in the Bible. You might as well be trying to circumcise people thinking that's going to make them Jews. That's not how it works. Don't do that. I shouldn't have even said that. Incredibly awkward. But we think if I just do these things, I'll be close to God. The Bible just said, no, you want to know how you're close to God? By Jesus. And you're already next to him. All these other things are simply how we display the love of God to the world. All of this right here, this isn't so we can be close to Jesus. This is so the world can know that we're already close to Jesus. We gather on Sundays not to be closer to God, but to proclaim to one another, he's already brought us as close as we can possibly be. This is why it's good news. It's not bad news. Like, Jesus actually died for sins. We don't have to bust ours to prove ourselves to him. All the good things that God calls us to do are simply this Y and Z, that you're so far from God. If you are a believer in Jesus, you cannot be nearer to him. Now, you personally might have your back turned and you're in a fight and you don't want to look him in the eyes, but you can't be nearer to him. He's on the edge of his seat saying, hey, 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 I'm right here. I'm right here. Remember. Remember who you were, but remember who you are. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, past tense no longer, have now, present tense, been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. What else did he do? As he made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. We're going to come back to all that wordy stuff. That he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Help me, Lord. He took Jews and Gentiles who were at war with one another And let's be very clear here. He did not make super Jews. And he didn't make redeemed Gentiles. When Jesus died on the cross and brought those who were far off near, he made one new man called the church. Jesus made the church. He didn't make super Jews, and he didn't make redeemed Gentiles. He made one new man called the church. And so sometimes we think that there's different statuses among one another. There's just one. You're not. You're not a white Christian. You're not a black Christian. You're not a Western Christian. You're not an American Christian. You're not a rich Christian. You're not a poor Christian. You're a Christian. Anything you want to put before Christian, then we misunderstand what Jesus made in the church. He made the church. That's it. He didn't make different types of Christians. He made different type of people, but he made one kind of church. And so we want to think about all this division in the body. There's these people and these people and these people and these people. There's like people who serve and people who don't. There's like people who give and people who don't. There's like people who are really smart and then people who aren't really smart. And no. There's one type of person, dead or alive. And if you're dead, you're dead. If you're alive, you're the church. It says, massive implications for how we pursue and perceive unity in the church. But that's not this sermon. So come again in chapter 4. Come before that, but hang in there till chapter 4. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. What is all this about? Long story short, in the Old Testament, God gave his people the law, a list of commandments that God said, hey, here's how you're going to be a unique people so that you might be a blessing to all the nations of the world. He gave a lot of commandments to say, here's how you're going to follow me in this season of our relationship. Okay? It's called the law. Something else he's talking about altogether. He has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He's talking about this hostility that exists between Jews and Gentiles by abolishing the law of commandments, not just the law of commandments, but those expressed in ordinances. There's a few different opinions on what all this means, but here's what I take it to mean. When the Jewish people made the law that which what it was never meant to be, it created division between Jews and Gentiles. So let's take circumcision. This is part of why Paul begins the text this way. Hey, when we take circumcision, when you take circumcision and make it a dividing wall, then you have forsaken what the law was actually meant for. All of God's commandments. But how often do we take that which was given to us by God and we use it for division? What Paul just said is Jesus did away with that. How did he do that? By giving us the Spirit. We'll talk more about that later. But listen, y'all. I have the opportunity to spend a lot of time with a lot of different people. Oftentimes, people who are hurt by church. And when they say that, they mean by people who claim the name of Jesus. And here's often what has happened. Sometimes it is really complicated and sticky, and oh, it's a mess. But a lot of times it's when Christians take that which was given as a good, righteous commandment, and then they use it to divide instead of unite. often cool stuff for our kiddos. And it's like, man, I just remember growing up in church and there's like judgment and condemnation between like homeschool and public school folks. It's like someone's sinning here based on what they choose for their kids. And it's like, hey, there's no Bible verse that says thou shalt do this in the educational system of 21st century America. There isn't one. But I watched this atmosphere on both sides. I had public school family. And we had, there's a big private school where I moved from. And there's lots, you know, like they all went to our church. All these private school folks. And then there's this public school folks. And you know some public school folks, they were like, hey, like we're really serious about the mission of God. You know, that's why we go to public school, because like we take the mission of God real seriously. So we want to be in public schools, not surrounded by Christians. And they kind of like look down on the private school, Font's ability to make disciples and just hand them over to Satan. And it's like, hey guys, remember who you were and remember who you are. We are one new man. But there's a million things that we take and we pick them up and we use them to divide. He says Jesus did away with all of that. And so here's what grieves me. When you and I choose things that are meant to be good gifts from God and we make them ruling things, we deny the work that Jesus has actually done. When we take good things and we make them ruling things, we deny the work that Jesus has actually done. Remember who you were and remember who we are. Jesus has done away with that. He leveled everybody. There's only one good work and Jesus did it on our behalf. That was it. He brought those who were far off near. He made those who were separate and made them one. And he broke down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances so that he might create in himself one new man. Do you hear it? In Christ. You and I be peacemakers to the extent that we follow Jesus or live in Christ. He might in himself create one new man in the place of two, so making peace. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. Lastly, verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. In him, we both have, I just think they know him more. My Presbyterian friends, same spirit. My Lutheran friends, same spirit with a side of extra spirits. That was a bad joke. I shouldn't have said that. They have more freedom in Christ, so they drink alcohol. You know, that's okay. A lot of recovering Baptists go, it's all right. Jesus actually turned water into wine. It wasn't grape juice. Let's not. It's okay. Okay. It's not the sermon, Chris. Focus, okay? One spirit. He made one church. He didn't make a bunch. He made one. And we have access to the Father in one spirit through Jesus. At some point in church history, something shifted. From the book of Acts, need a priest to give you access to the Father. And language like clergy and laity were introduced into the church. Clergy would be like perceived as me. I'm a pastor. And therefore, like if you're going to deal with God, if you're going to talk to God, then like you got to do that through me. What does verse 18 say? For through him being Jesus, we both or all have access in one spirit to the Father. If you want to talk to God, talk to God. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a priest. You don't need a mediator. Why? Because you have one. His name's Jesus. He gave access to the Father through the Spirit. Remember who you were and remember peace. Do you hear this? Jesus is our peace. And through his work on the cross, verse 15, he made peace. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. The preaching of peace, the ministry and life of Jesus, was a result of what he had done at the cross. By making peace. He was able to make peace because he is our peace. Now, I want to get really practical here, okay? I want a church on mission, all right? I don't want a bunch of big heads that know a lot about the Bible, but don't do anything about it. Been there, done that, don't want to do it again, all right? It's called seminary. And it was great. I learned a lot. What does that look like, okay? I just find this to be a helpful picture. I learned about a holiday a few years ago that I didn't know a lot about called Juneteenth. Juneteenth is a celebration of something that took place 180 years ago on Galveston Island. It's a celebration of a group of people hearing about the Emancipation Proclamation when the United States declared all slaves are now free. This last year, I had the privilege of marching side by side with Pastor Derek Benn of Greater Bethel Baptist Church on a Juneteenth march in this city. 3 years ago, I had no idea the holiday even existed. What is Juneteenth celebrating? It's celebrating the day when a group of people arrived with a message that had happened, had been established 2 years prior to this event. Peace already existed in law. It had been written into law. The Emancipation Proclamation written in 1863. Juneteenth happened June 19th in 1865. Peace existed. Peace was made, but peace was yet to be preached to those who were far off. Until on that day, messengers arrived on Galveston Island and declared, those who are slaves are now free. I wonder what it would be like to bring that kind of news. To say, hey, do you remember? It's ripped apart to have a value placed on our head that we didn't get to decide. To work our entire lives under someone that we had to call master and obey so that we could just simply do labor that they'd profit from that we wouldn't profit from. And then on one day to be declared, you're free. You're free. And you and I know well the history of our nation, that freedom in that moment did not equal freedom for years and years and years and years and years to come. Why? Because we did not become peacemakers. Perhaps because in large segments of the church, we abandoned our calling as followers of Jesus and did not preach peace because we were not living in peace. Now, this whole text is not just about racism, but we cannot ignore the racial language that Paul is using. And we have abandoned the actual work that Jesus has done in making the church. That's the church, one new man. And any deficit of that is not because of the work or person of Jesus. It's because those who were called to be peacemakers are not following him as he's called us to. My friends, can peace exist on earth? Yes, it can. I believe it does. In the kingdom of God, where Jesus is ruling and reigning, and his church is following him with all their hearts. But if you want to experience peace, it'll happen as you and I, step by step by step, hand our lives over to Jesus and follow him. We went to Sights and Sounds on Thursday night. I get out some, but then it was eye-opening for me. Saw such an absence of peace. Saw kids getting yelled at by parents, getting cussed at by parents. Saw people having far too much to drink, doing all sorts of odd stuff. Saw family members yelling at each other about what they wanted to do. Saw kiddos crying and screaming because they didn't want to ride a ride, but they were going to ride that ride because we were paid for the thing. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Where is it, Jesus? And he says, I've already done it. I've already made it. One new man to be the agent of bringing peace to the whole world. But the whole world will stay trapped in slavery until the church says, that's our job. That's our job. That if you and I are a church called to multiply disciples of Jesus, then that means that week after week, day after day, hour after hour, we are giving our lives to being more and more and more and more like Jesus. And listen, y'all, there are so many ways in which I'm not like him. But I don't want another day to go by where some kid has to be yelled at because we did not preach peace. I'm done with it, y'all. Like, I want to be the peacemaker that God's called me to be because this world is so desperate for peace, and it's already there. It's already accessible. Can you fathom having slaves live in this city that you and I continue to live in slavery? I never told them they were free. You want to see peace on earth? Then bring it. It's already been given. But how often is the church holding it back because we're not following our Lord? I want to see peace on earth as it is in heaven. And I think it can happen. I think it can really happen because I know he's already done it. And he wants to use every single one of us, not the cleaned up ones, not the super holy ones, not the ones who have all the spiritual gifts. He wants to use every single one of us to bring peace to the world. Because that's who Christ is, and he lives in you through faith when you believe in him. That's the gospel, that Christ took those who were far off and brought them near. And without hope and without God in the world. And what are you doing about it? How are you and I living as peacemakers in this world? Can peace on earth exist? Yes. To the extent that you and I follow Jesus, we will see peace on earth. He's already brought it. We light candles. We decorate our houses. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, peace came to earth and absorbed all our hostility and buried it in the ground. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he made a way for all who are far off to be brought near through the defeat of our sin. That those who were actually war makers, Jesus turned into peacemakers. That's why we celebrate Christmas. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite the team to come back up. And then one of the things we've been praying about at the well, so we're going to do something weird, all right? It doesn't have to be weird. But in this time, really kind of two primary ways I want to invite you to respond. The first is, we do this every week, there's a table prepared for you to take communion, to remember the broken body and spilt blood of Jesus. As you do that today, would you particularly remember what that body did for you? That at one time, you and I were an enmity with God. There was not peace here. But through Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, he has made peace. So as you take this in remembrance of Jesus, would you remember that peace was made for you? You didn't earn it. You didn't achieve for it. It was made for you. Response number one. Response number two. If you're here today and you know there's a specific situation that God is calling you to be a peacemaker in, I want to invite you to come up to the front and we're going to pray. Like, I want you, like, Maybe that takes some guts. I don't know. But if that's you, you know there's a specific situation. You see someone you know or someone you're in house church with, or maybe you don't know them at all, but God's just leading you to pray. We're going to do that. Why? Because we have access to the Father in one spirit. And we're going to celebrate that today by being the church for one another. So if you're here today and you know, like, hey, here's the situation. Maybe there's your life just feels like chaos. And you're like, I need prayer. I feel no peace. I see no peace around me. I need prayer. We're going to do that today. And so as the team leads us in worship, I just invite freedom in this place. We would walk in peace together as a church and be free to say, hey, I need help today. I need the help of God today. So would you come and so would just let us pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much for Jesus. Oh God, would we be the church that you've made us to be? You've called us to be, that you've created us to be. Oh God, may the good news of Jesus be always on our lips. That there might not be a day where there's anyone held captive in this city. For your glory and our joy, we respond to you now, Lord God, in Jesus' name.